Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. Haven't seen you in a while. Traveling the world?
No, I've been traveling. It's the busiest time of year for my business. It's like tax season for accountants. So I've been on the road and traveling, but it's good to see you. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Thank you. Have you got big plans this holiday season?
Family coming to town. Everybody comes to my house.
There you go. Yeah. That's the way it should be.
That's right. They know I love to cook and everything's decorated, so it's good. I'm ready for company. I'm also ready for our show today, Lee. I'm excited about it for a lot of reasons. We've got business owners. We've got education. We've got some information for those that listen regularly for our prostate segments, our prostate cancer segments. We've got a lot of updates for folks and entrepreneurs. I mean, a mixed bag today. So I'm looking forward to it. Lots of great information to share with our listeners today. And first up this morning, we have President Peter Correa, and he's from American Intercontinental University. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Oh, thank you, Amy, and happy holidays to you and yours.
You're looking so festive.
Yes, I got the memo on dress code today. I'm actually in formal attire based on the fact that we have a holiday party at our university.
Oh, that's nice. Now, American Intercontinental University of Atlanta, what other locations do y'all have?
American Intercontinental University is well in excess of 20,000 students. They are truly spread all over the world. We have a major campus here in Atlanta. We also have a campus in South Florida, Houston, as well as London, and a large online contingent that's beamed out of Chicago.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what makes your university, say, different than, say, University of Georgia or Emory?
American Intercontinental University is focused on experiential education. We are looking to have faculty that are, as I say, still in the game. They are focused on delivering an education that is career-focused. However, it is regionally accredited, and we do provide degrees up to the master's level. I would say it's also very much hands-on. It's student-centered, and we're leveraging technology considerably. And it allows the students to take courses in various modalities, whether it's on-ground, online, or any combination thereof.
Talk a little bit about the combination thereof. If somebody's doing it like a hybrid where they're doing some of their course online, is some of it in the classroom as well?
Yes, exactly. What it is we found that students very often like the face-to-face experience, but they also like the efficiency of being able to use an electronic platform and to do what we would call online coursework. So in many ways, I feel it's the best of both worlds in that it creates a situation where, for example, a student might only have to come into campus one day a week and then be able to do the rest of their course studies via the Internet.
And what does that mean, via the Internet? Are they just, like, going on there to take tests, or is there, like, webinars? Are they, you know, watching a lecture?
What it is a combination thereof. We have an electronic platform. We have a learning platform that is a proprietary learning platform. It is ours. And that allows us to do various assigned, what I call learning vignettes, whether it be using streaming, whether it be chat, whether it be various modalities with respect to electronic content, because the wonderful world of textbooks now, it's not just the textbook that you receive, it's the electronic content that's available to the students that the student can be using. As I often say, it allows them to work on their game in their fuzzy slippers.
In their fuzzy slippers. I've seen those commercials, get your degree in your PJs, or
right.
get your degree in your slippers. There's a lot to be said for that, though, just the convenience of not having to go to a university or a campus every day. I see you with your Kindle, and I have my iPad. I'm curious, how long do you think it will be before textbooks are eliminated and we're doing everything on a handheld device?
Well, I do. I'm absolutely wed to my Kindle or whatever, whether it's the Nook or the Kindle. It's a matter of priority. But I do believe we're going in that direction. It's amazing now what we're able to deliver in terms of the learning experience. We're coming up with technology now that a student can actually choose how they wish to learn, whether they read it, whether they see it, whether they hear it, or any combination thereof. I think we're on a marvelous opportunity to to bring together that digital native into the world of the 21st century. So, yes, I'm excited about it. And to answer your question, Amy, I obviously think that there's going to be a time when, just as you and I are able to get things through our Kindle, all the books could be downloaded accordingly. And in that light, we just reorganized our campus so that we're focused now more on a library than a traditional library setting for that very reason.
How's your football team doing this year?
We are undefeated one more year. We've been undefeated since 1970.
That's awesome. Now, do you go after the kid right out of high school, or you go after more of the person older?
It's actually getting a mix now. We're finding students that are ready to come here right out of high school, and we're also finding students that are wanting to reinvent themselves, perhaps have been sometimes in another career in which they want to do it. In fact, in many ways, I consider myself representative of that reinvention. I'm a retired Army officer who reinvented myself as an educator about 10 years ago.
Reinvention.
You like that, huh?
I do like that.
You reinvented.
I'm constantly reinventing, it seems. For those that like to learn and maybe just continue education without getting a degree, are there some special interest class that you have on the arts or technology?
Exactly. Well, thanks for that question, Amy, because what we're launching next year, which we're really excited about, is what I'm referring to as a Center of Excellence for Lifelong Learning. That will be a center of excellence that will include those people not seeking degrees but just want to get some level of coursework for non-credit, for credit. We're also going to be offering some conversational courses in Spanish, Arabic, and Chinese. We're also looking for ways and means for people to enhance their presentation skills. So it's a I'll call it a cornucopia of offerings that we're looking for, because we're finding that even if the student gains their competencies, they also need to be working on those other things of reading, writing, and arithmetic associated with, I think, success in the 21st century.
I find that interesting, because I think as we go more to electronic learning, the personal touch and the personal communication skills are lost. So to have a hybrid of that is so important. And you're saying now that there are classes on presenting and really fine-tuning those skills.
Exactly. I can remember getting my master's degree at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California in the 70s. And I'll never forget, someone looked at me as the professor said, during your lifetime, Peter, you're going to find technology is going to be gaining exponentially. However, the more high-tech we become, the more high-touch we need. And I truly believe that.
I like that. I definitely believe that. That's one of the reasons why for the Atlanta Business Radio Show, you have to come to the studio, because I want to see you.
Exactly.
I want to shake your hand. I don't want to not know who you are and just talk with you over the waves, right, Lee?
Right. What do you think about the trend now with so many kids that are graduating college and not being able to find a job, and the cost of college going up so high? Do you think there's going to be a trend of people that are saying, you know what, I'm just going to go out and battle on my own without getting a college degree?
No, I seriously believe that the value of a degree is obviously focused on your career, but it's also who you are. And I think of myself in terms of the background. If it had not been for an education, I shudder to think what I did. And I'm first generation from Brazil, and I was fortunate enough to gain appointment to the military academy, and that allowed me to catapult myself in terms of my career. So I would say hold the course. These are some tough economic times, but the reality is that the value of a degree transcends sometimes what you initially are getting in terms of a job, but rather it's an investment in the future. And I think from a sociological and anthropological perspective, it's value added to the community.
How can people find out more about the class offerings and more about American Intercontinental University?
I would encourage you to get on our website, AIU.edu. It's there. I really like the direction we're going with respect to bringing students together to create a learning community that's absolutely facilitated by people who are are also have a day job, so to speak. They very, very often will be working as lawyers or business people, and but have found a calling in teaching, and so they bring that to the table. And in the words of Siddhartha, it merges the issue of knowledge that you get from a book, wisdom that you gain from experience. So I do believe it's a great opportunity for people to invest in themselves.
Great information.
Great, thanks.
And it's right down the road too, Lee.
That's right. It's on the other side of 400, I think. Right?
Exactly. And we're purposely there. We had a campus in Buckhead where we've consolidated. We have about 75,000 square feet. And we're also available with the MARTA stop at Sandy Springs, which allows our students to be able to get off there. We have a shuttle bus to pick them up, and that brings them in there. It allows them not to have to have a car in order to
attend,
to be a
right.
student. And that's huge for us because we have quite a few national and international students who come here to Atlanta to live and to learn.
Wonderful. Thanks for being with us this morning, Peter.
Oh, thank you very much, Amy, and I appreciate the opportunity, and happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays to you.
Thanks.
He was so festive looking, Lee.
We should make all of our guests dress like that.
Do you have holiday attire that you sport?
No, I'm going to borrow his.
Yeah, I actually had to borrow. I went to a tacky holiday sweater party. And I didn't have any holiday sweaters. I had to borrow one.
They had a label that party that, or it just organically was a tacky holiday sweater?
That was the attire for the party. Yeah, no doubt. More on education. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have John Panessa. Welcome.
Good morning.
I understand you're here to talk to us about a scholarship fund.
Yes, I am. I am. I am the executive director for the Apogee Scholarship Fund, what we do is there was a law passed a few years ago that allows sets aside $50 million in tax credits, and what our organization does is we make tax credits available for people. They make donations. We give them a dollar-for-dollar Georgia tax credit, and those dollars are then used to fund scholarships for children who are seeking other educational opportunities.
And is this primary school or
this
university?
This is for pre-K through 12th.
Okay.
Really?
So this is all, yes, elementary and high school. So it's a kind of part of a school choice movement to make educational choices and opportunities available for all families, regardless of their zip code or economic status.
So is the scholarship based on economic status, or could it be like, oh, my kid's good at the violin, so that might make them eligible for something?
While the law doesn't require any needs-based, the schools that we work with typically do enforce a needs-based. So that the primary focus of the scholarship is for for families who have economic challenges and to support their educational choices.
And what schools do you work with?
We work with about 90 schools or so, pretty much most of the major schools in Atlanta, with Westminster and Pace and Galloway and things at school, pretty much most of the schools inside the Atlanta area, including some schools in Savannah. So
how does someone contact you, or how does somebody know whether they should contact you?
Obviously, if they have children in private school, or if they have children who are looking for opportunities for private schools, we have a website www.apogeescholarships.org. We're happy to talk with anybody that calls or emails. All the schools that we work with are listed on the website. That's a great avenue to resource to find those schools.
Are you using up all your money every year, or do you have money to spend on this?
There's a $50 million cap, and we have not used the $50 million cap yet. Right now,
an annual cap?
Yes, an annual cap.
And you haven't used it?
No, not yet. The programs, they're using more and more every year. However, right now there's about $19 million still left to use up before the end of the year.
Before 2010. Wow. So
yes.
It's not too late.
It is not too late.
So talk a little bit more about this dollar for dollar tax credit.
Well, these are separate things, right? Like, one is you're helping people at a lower economic status get into these private schools or to pay for the private schools. The tax credits are for more of an investment opportunity for people to get tax credits for themselves and their business?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the tax credit portion is a pretty amazing thing. It's really a way to be charitable and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. So in other words, you're literally reducing your Georgia tax liability by the amount of your contribution. There's nothing really like it out there right now currently as far as from a giving standpoint. You're getting to help children seek educational opportunities, and you're getting a dollar-for-dollar credit. So it's basically it's an opportunity to really just redirect your taxes, take control of some of your tax dollars in Georgia, and kind of tell the state of Georgia how you'd like some of those dollars to be spent.
Is this program unique for Georgia, or is it all over the country?
This specific program is unique to Georgia. However, there's variations of it throughout the country in several states, Arizona, Florida, Pennsylvania. So it's there's different variations of it. However, I think Georgia's probably been the most aggressive and progressive in how the program is being run, and I think successfully. So.
Wow. And it's one of those things, you don't know what you don't know.
Right. Well, the tax credit world is that's its own little world, isn't it? There's lots of tax credits for things you have no idea about.
Yeah, there are. There are.
Yeah, we're finding that, like electric cars. We've had guests talk about tax credits, and I'm always enlightened because you don't even know what to ask, because how would you know that there's this credit out there? So you're looking for folks that want to do the dollar-for-dollar contribution, and they can engage you on the website. Mm-hmm. And then the other person that would want to contact you is someone looking to go to a private school and looking for scholarship money. And they need to contact you now because there's still money available, right?
Yes, absolutely. There's definitely
money
available.
What's the net worth of a family in order to get the scholarship? Do you have a rule of thumb?
It actually varies. Sometimes you have families who might have a reasonable net worth, but they have four children they're trying to have in private school, and so that becomes and there's other issues too there where you have special needs children are definitely beneficiaries of the program. So but I would say, as far as the net worth, it's difficult to say that only because there's so many factors that play into.
So a person of any worth should consider. There's no harm in just kind of exploring this with you.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely not. Yeah, this is an opportunity for anybody. So obviously,
the money.
Yes,
right. The money's there.
We've got the money, and we're happy to give it out. So we've been blessed to be able to dole out about $7 million in scholarships in the past 2 years. So. Of helping about 1,300 families right now. So.
All in Georgia?
All in Georgia.
Wow.
This is a Georgia program helping Georgia children.
That's remarkable. Mm-hmm. And it's been around since 2008?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's pretty new. So what's your biggest challenge, to get the people to take advantage of the tax credits or to get the kids to take advantage of the scholarships?
Yeah, the scholarships is definitely not a challenge. There's plenty of people looking for scholarships. Educating people about tax credits. Tax credits is an animal that most people don't understand. So definitely educating the communities about the program and about the opportunity to give. There's spending the money is really easy.
But you still have a ton left to spend, so it must not be that easy.
Yeah, well, that's the $19 million that's out there is what hasn't been awarded in credits. So that's not necessarily how much we've awarded in scholarships. That's the credits that the state still has available for people to contribute to.
Right, but are there still scholarships available?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's definitely scholarships available at most of our partner schools. So.
Okay. And how can folks check it out?
Like I said, they can go to the website at apogeescholarships.org, and feel free, they can contact us, and we're happy to chat with them.
All right, John, you need to stick around. I want to
talk
to you.
That's it. Amy's got kids in private school.
Yes. And those checks, writing those checks are painful, but the education's worth it. Absolutely. Wonderful. Thanks for being with us today, John. Any final thoughts for our listeners from you?
As far as the final thought, I would just encourage any listeners out there who are interested in scholarships to contact us. Or if you're interested in redirecting and taking control of your tax dollars, then I would encourage you to seek us out and there are still funds available, and I'd love to talk with you and speak with you about how you can redirect your tax dollars.
Excellent. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Next up, shifting gears, but again, we're educating our listeners. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Shelley Glenn from RC Cancer Centers. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Lee.
You know what? Shelley's wearing my favorite color.
What is that, purple?
Purple. I love that color. And that color, purple, too.
Yeah.
Now that our listeners know what Shelley's wearing, it's purple and she looks beautiful.
We're not going to go any further than that.
People were wondering.
Exactly. All right, Shelley, give us the scoop. What's new and give our listeners...
Well, what's RC Cancer Center? Let's start there.
Yeah, we should start there. They've been on the show before, so this is kind of an update. But
well, thank you. RC Cancer Center is an organization committed to the treatment of patients that have cancer and where radiation is the appropriate treatment. But I'm really, really excited about an initiative that we're doing jointly with some major organizations that are based here in Georgia. and specifically RC Cancer Centers, the Atlanta Hawks, Bard Medical, the Atlanta Thrashers, UPS, Morehouse School of Medicine, 11 Alive Television, KISS 104.1 Radio, and WSB Radio have come together to form an organization or a coalition supporting the Georgia Prostate Cancer Coalition in an initiative to increase prostate cancer awareness throughout the state of Georgia. Specifically, we're encouraging every single man in Georgia to speak with their doctor and or get screened this year as soon as possible. And our goal
any is... Any age men or just men in general?
That's a great question. Specifically, as far as men are concerned, we strongly encourage, along with the Georgia Prostate Cancer Coalition, that men age 40 and over start having a discussion with their doctor and or begin getting screened for a baseline to determine where they should go from there.
And talk a little bit about prostate cancer as it relates to Georgia. Do you have any statistics for us?
Yeah, that's a great question, Amy. Specifically, as far as deaths within Georgia, the state of Georgia, Georgia ranks 11th among all 50 states as the number of deaths per capita from prostate cancer. So this is really a really important issue, and we want to ensure that men are aware, and we have an exciting initiative and promotion going along with this. Specifically, and the reason that we're calling out to corporations is we want them through their wellness programs and through their organizations to get involved. For every man that goes to the Georgia Prostate Cancer Pledge site, which is GeorgiaProstateCancerPledge.com, if they enroll, they can download two free tickets to an upcoming Atlanta Hawks game. And that's a really, really exciting opportunity for men to say, yes, I'm committed to my health, and for organizations and corporations to make their employees aware of such an important.
So you don't have to have the test. You just have to say you're going to have the test?
Lee.
I just want to be clear on this.
Well, Lee, that's very interesting, because what also happens is you start to receive information, educational information about prostate cancer by signing up. And it's the different locations where a man can be screened, as well as different information for their friends and family.
I'd love to know your opinion. You know, folks talk about, gosh, cancer, it's everywhere now. Everybody's being diagnosed with cancer. Do you feel it's more of a lifestyle issue, or is it just that we can detect it earlier? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because I don't know that much has changed. It's just that you hear about it more.
Well, that's a great question, and I'm not a medical person, but according to the American Cancer Society, we're seeing men being diagnosed earlier because there is so much more outreach. And because they're being diagnosed earlier, it's being caught earlier and treated earlier. And I think that's really important, because we do not want any of the men within our state to die unnecessarily of prostate cancer if they get tested.
Because it's treatable.
It's very treatable, especially when caught early.
And it's not an aggressive typically cancer, right?
Well, it depends. Generally speaking, and according to the American Urological Association, men age 40 and over who are African American should begin testing by age 40, and men that are not African American or do not have a family history, as long as they begin having that discussion and testing by age 50. So it is really important that men make themselves aware of this, because you do not want it to become an aggressive cancer.
And are there other elements that contribute, other factors, like if they smoke or if they have family history or any of those factors that would make them want to be screened earlier?
Generally speaking, the only factors that a man should be screened earlier are, number one, if they're African American, mm-hmm. and number two, if they have a family history, a brother, father, or anything along those lines. Other than that, at this point, there's no medical conclusion or that confirmation. But there are discussions about whether diet may impact mm-hmm. the ability or the prognosis for cancer.
Now, do you know what percentage of men, just by living longer, are going to have this at some point? Like, isn't it the vast majority of men, just by the sense they're living so long?
Actually, Lee, it's 1 in 6 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime.
Right.
And it's 2.5 times as many African American men as other men. And that just came from the Prostate Health Education Network just sent that out this morning. So,
And the screening isn't painful. It's not like it's a big deal, right?
To you.
Well, actually, it depends on which screening you're talking about. The initial baseline is a PSA or a prostate-specific antigen test, which is a simple blood test. And then that's followed by a DRE or a digital rectal exam. So
that's the one that's the guys aren't lining up for.
Well, actually, the interesting thing is we have an initiative as part of this program at the end of January, two weekends in a row. We have the mobile units coming to four area Krogers to do both the PSA and the digital rectal exams at absolutely no cost.
I don't think the money's the issue, FYI.
Well, I guess it depends, Lee. It depends on the man.
I'm sure there are people that are listening, though, and people just put it off. And sometimes it's a matter of it not being convenient or not wanting to take the time out of
your
day.
I'm going to go to that Kroger parking lot and we'll line up for that, jumping right on that.
I'm sure people will see you there.
Well, we'll make sure that there are doctors with smaller fingers for
you. Thank you. I'll pay extra for that.
Oh, that's good. Any other information for our listeners, Shelley? You mentioned a website where they can look at the pledge form and get those Hawks tickets, which is a great incentive.
Yes, actually, there are a couple of things that are important to note. Number one, men and their family members should go to GeorgiaProstateCancerPledge.com. And secondarily, we have all kinds of free screenings, not only at the end of January, but right now that are available, and you can look on the website for that information. Our goal is to get 10,000 men in the state of Georgia pledged by the end of April to be screened and to have a conversation with their doctor. And in April, we are going to be having all kinds of medical and educational symposiums, a motorcycle ride, as well as a golf tournament, an assortment of other events to benefit the Georgia Prostate Cancer Coalition. So this is really, really an important local issue that we want to make men aware of.
Terrific.
Good stuff.
Great information. And we'll put the link to that website on the podcast today, too, so folks can just click and go. Great information, very important. And as always, with any kind of cancer, early detection means that you can treat and we live longer.
Exactly. And it's very important for our fathers, our brothers, our sons, grandparents, whatever the case may be. Please, it's important to be screened.
Wonderful. Thanks for the information, Shelley. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Amy. Appreciate it. Thanks, Lee.
Lee, I could see you standing in line there. It is just a matter of convenience, though. What a great thing to offer folks.
Yeah, no, that's a great service.
Absolutely. Next up this morning, we're taking a shift to some business. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Greg Corey from Porch Light Studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Greg, what's Porch Light? Cool name. Cool business card, too. I like the little tab on there.
Yeah, we get lots of compliments on that card.
I do like it.
Thank you. Porch Light Studio is a graphic design agency that specializes in the home improvement packaging arena.
What's
an example of that?
So, home improvement packaging would be any product or item that you would find in a big box retail.
Like a Home Depot.
Like a Home Depot, Lowe's, absolutely.
To make it more attractive or more enticing?
Well, those are two options for packaging design. But some of the other ones are also to keep the product safe, keep theft down, some other things of that during shipping and transportation. But, packaging is the item basically that sits on the shelf that is actually the first item that somebody would see or touch before they even open the product or engage with the actual product itself.
Now, are your clients typically large companies, or are they like kind of the small up and coming company that wants to get on the shelves of Home Depot and Lowe's?
Yeah, great question. We actually have a really good mixture of both.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we're dealing with the large corporations or the brand managers that are in that corporation that need some help with packaging design. But other times we deal with the smaller entrepreneur that has, an invention or one product, and their whole goal is to try to get it into Home Depot or Lowe's or any of those other big box retailers.
Right. And that, do you find when you're working with that type of a client that they're not aware of how that works. So they think that they just have their product and it'll just magically appear on the shelves, but there's certain rules, and there's a lot of rules that the packaging it has to work in a certain manner, or else Home Depot won't even, buy that SKU, right?
It depends a lot of times on the parameters. In other words, if they're coming to us, the smaller owners or the person with one product, One of the things they don't know is they don't realize exactly how long the process takes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing they don't realize is a lot of times that the retailer does have influence over what's on the packaging. And a lot of times that's a struggle for them because they already have in their mind what they think should be on the packaging. But then you have the retailer saying, well, no, we need some of these specifics. It needs to do this. It needs to fit on this shelf and live in this space. And sometimes that causes a little bit of back and forth to get that quite right. But you're absolutely correct.
What's the single biggest mistake you see some folks make in the packaging when advertising?
Yeah, what bugs you?
What bugs us is timing. No one realizes how long it takes. So what happens is typically the packaging part of it will come after the product is already sold.
Right. So they go, they make this, they sell an order, 10,000 units, whatever, and they go, okay, now we need packaging for it.
Yes, and then they think, let's go run down and get
by packaging. By the end of the week, we'll just have this thing up and going.
Exactly. And so what tends to happen there is the design of the actual product gets kind of the back seat. Because now it's, well, I'm not worried about the design. I'm worried about getting the item on the shelf.
At the door.
And I want it now, you know, yeah. And so that's probably our biggest.
So in your perfect world, if you can, create the perfect package to do whatever the client needs it to do, what are the elements in that kind of perfect package in your mind?
Wow, perfect package.
Is it educational? Is it something that, that's educational or is it something that's, just functional? What are the, for you, when you're creating packaging?
Well, it really depends on the item. I mean, a lot of times you don't need a lot of packaging.
Right.
And that would probably be the ultimate package, is something that just, kind of takes care of itself in a sense. But, there's no really ultimate or perfect packaging.
But, for example, packaging can make or break a product. Example would be like those spinning toothbrushes. If that spinning toothbrush didn't have the press here and watch it spin, those things would have sold a whole lot less toothbrushes.
I'm not sure about that, Lee. I think it's what's on the inside that counts. My thought bubble, as you're talking about the perfect package, it's a good thing you can't read my thought bubble because I'm thinking about the perfect package. I do get what you're saying, though, Lee. I mean, so often your eye is drawn to certain things on the shelf. Maybe you can talk us through a success story, Greg, or maybe a product that you have on the shelf now that we might recognize.
Well, there's a few things you probably recognize if you walked a Home Depot. We do a lot with Husky tool bags, Husky tools, Glacier Bay faucets are some of the packaging you probably would notice. We also do a lot of the point of purchase displays as well that are in the store. A lot of those are corrugated displays. A lot of those are permanent fixtures that you'll see in Home Depot or in Lowe's. We do a lot of work with Georgia Pacific as well. So those are some of the things you would see. That we've recently worked on.
Do you help the customer get those opportunities?
A lot of times we do. Our relationship is close with some of these retailers, so what we tend to learn is exactly what they're looking for. And so before the manufacturer goes to the retailer, we can already tell them what to expect and to what to be ready for so that we can prepare them for their meetings before even going into actually selling the product and getting it on the shelf. We can have it all ready for them and ready to go.
And you mentioned the time frame a lot. What is a good time frame to a person to keep in mind? Is it months?
It is. It's about a 3-month process is what it'd be nice to have. I mean, from the first time you start talking about it to the time it's actually the files are sent to be printed and created.
So outside the home improvement realm, what would be some of your favorite projects to take on? Do you do other things?
We really don't, and that's what kind of makes Porchlight unique. I mean, we strive to focus on packaging, and we strive to focus on home improvement packaging. We feel that just gives us a little bit more of a competitive edge against other agencies that maybe dabble in graphic design or branding or marketing. But we do have a couple that are outside of that. We've done a couple of gaming clients video games and electronics and things of that nature. And it's kind of nice and refreshing to kind of have a different side of it. And on the other side of that, we actually have a wedding dress client that we deal with. So it kind of takes us to the other side. And mm-hmm. So it gives us a good balance.
And how long has Porchlight been around?
Porchlight was established in 2004, so roughly 6-7 years now.
Wow. And it sounds like you've been very successful in that niche market. Describe your ideal client for us.
Wow, ideal clients. I think an ideal client, we'd like to have somebody that has the appreciation of the design process and kind of what goes into it. yeah, that's a person who kind of understands that, that design is thoughtful and it, it takes some time and it could take 2 to 3 versions to get to where you want to be. Instead of that client who just says, I just want to sell my product and get it on the shelf.
Do you have a website where folks can look at some of your work?
We do. It's porchlightatl.com.
Great. Good cool. information.
Yeah, that was great.
I got to check out the website. I was trying to check it out here from my iPad, but I don't have connection. I'd like to look at some of the work you've done because it's interesting when you do talk about packaging, there are certain things that are so important. And oftentimes if you're comparing brands, it's like a wine label. You kind of look at the
right
what's most appealing to the eye. So in your niche, though, are you finding that the buyers, have you kind of done a synopsis of what they're looking for when they're buying home products?
We do. I mean, they're definitely looking for clear communication of the features and benefits on the package. In the home improvement centers, there's so many different brands and packages on the shelf. A lot of times you really just need to be clear and concise and say exactly what this product does. The difference between, say, the person who owns the product or the manufacturer is they want to put every single feature and benefit on that package, which just kind of lends itself to, say, clutter.
Mm-hmm.
And what we tend to do is try to boil that down to what is the main benefit or feature of this particular product and how is it going to help the consumer.
Less is more sometimes.
Exactly.
So, Greg, give us the website one more time and how folks can reach you.
Sure. It's Porchlight ATL, and Porchlight is just like it sounds, P-O-R-C-H-L-I-G-H-T, A-T-L for Atlanta.com. And feel free to call our office at 678-500-7190.
Excellent. Thanks for being our guest this morning. Great information.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. It does seem like we get folks on here from time to time. Packaging is one of those things that can make or break a product. Would you agree?
I think so.
I mean, the inventors, that's always
right.
a big
that's
thing.
Right. That's why I'm going to tell Ron about.
Oh, absolutely.
He'd be a good guest for Ron.
Absolutely. We've got other shows for you. Wonderful. Well, next up this morning, we have Sean Arnold. I'm having a hard time today.
It's kind of funny that happens.
Sean Arnold. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Now that I can say your name, Sean, welcome.
Thanks.
So what have you got for us today? It sounds like it's not your dad's IT. We would love to hear more about your company. And, you know, IT doesn't put me to sleep, so I'm glad you're not talking finance at this point.
Right.
So what is it?
Well, it's funny because IT is it's getting sexier, I mean, I think, because the two biggest things, it obviously changes so fast. I mean, you've seen, I mean, fundamentally the internet in the last, just alone in the last 15 years, I mean, it's been, you've seen just light speed like changes. And I think that lends itself to business. I mean, how many businesses do you know that don't have some level of IT? They really don't exist. So what our company does is we, generally speaking, manage either whole or in part the infrastructure, the IT infrastructure of our client companies. Now, they range in size anywhere from as small as 5 or 6 employees to our largest clients, about 1,000 employees.
What kind of companies?
It's really across the board. Again, from an infrastructure, and when I say infrastructure, I'm talking about servers, network equipment, security, email, backup systems. So not like what software you're using and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. It's really the core backbone type stuff. That really, honestly, company to company is not all that different. You may have very different platforms that, I mean, it'll look different from a size standpoint or structure, but I mean, you know, we have a law firm client, we have a property management client, we have a technology client, we have a retail client. Their infrastructures don't look too wholly different. So, you know, I think from that perspective, again, it's really limitless as far as who we can service. I mean, it's just more about functionally, what do you want your technology to do for you, and how do you want it to get there?
What's the pain that your client's typically having when they contact you? Are they having like some sort of a crisis, or is it something that they shop periodically?
Yeah, if someone calls us, it's because something blew up.
Disaster.
I mean, bottom line, I mean, it's my emails are gone. I can't, my computer.
My emails are gone. You've had that conversation before?
Sure. Like people go back to retrieve old emails and
it's gone.
They physically disappeared.
Can they come back or?
Sometimes. I mean, it just depends.
Where do they go?
My files are gone. Well, most of the time it's been corrupted because there's some bad something going on in the hardware.
Bad something. This is a technical term. I'm not familiar with.
I understand that one.
I'm trying to, you know, keep it on. But most of the time, and this is for us, I mean, I think when we call on clients, they don't know what they don't even know they're in pain. The reality is when that at that point where the user is affected by all this, right? Like when you go to flip your machine on and
you notice something's wrong.
There have been a daisy chain of probably 10 events that have happened to lead
before
to the user
level. Noticed it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so again, we monitor and maintain systems 24/7, 365, and in most cases we head that stuff off at the pass. Mm-hmm. Like before you get that massive data corruption where every file or Word file or anything, your client lists or whatever you've got disappear, we would normally will see that.
Like there's clues coming. That you see that we don't, the users see.
Yeah, we actually use a very complicated, or not complicated, but advanced tool where we deploy agents, we call them, but they're little digital guys out to all of the systems of all of our clients, and they monitor literally tens of thousands of processes. Mm-hmm. And when a process does something that's not normal, it throws off what we call an exception, or you know, it alerts us that something fishy is going on. And at that point, an engineer, it's not like medical. I mean, it's a symptom, right? So you go and diagnose the symptom and see if you can figure out what's going on. And this all can happen at 3 in the morning. You know, and for a company, I mean, where you rely on your infrastructure, I mean, it's a big deal. I think the biggest thing that's different now, though, is access and availability. I mean, small companies in the past, I mean, you know, 20 years ago, you buy a mainframe, you're going to spend $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those days are over. I mean, you can get crazy equipment for, you know, not a lot of money. So
are the problems like some bad guy trying to sabotage my business, or is the problem more a function of the stuff I have not playing well together?
Well, I think, first of all, it's very rarely the bad guy. Believe it or not, you know what the biggest risk is to any network system or any system in general is internal. Your employee.
Just some employee.
Yeah, your
employee. Disgruntled employee.
Not even malicious. I'm just saying they go into internet sites and downloading stuff they're not sure what it is and clicking on the email with the guy from Nigeria that wants to give you $25 million or whatever that stuff is. That's the biggest threat by a long shot. The second thing is bottom line, this equipment, it'll fail. Every piece of equipment you own at some point will fail. That iPad
scaring me.
Will
You're
fail.
Scaring me.
I mean, but if you go on a long enough timeline, it's like people, we're all going to die, right? Same thing with gear. The problem is that we take care of ourselves generally, and we don't take care of our equipment. You know, we're not watching it. We're not keeping everything up to date. We're not patching it like you're supposed to. You're not doing all the things that you want to do or need to do to get it there. So
in other words, we should contact you now so we have the preventative maintenance
that's
factor.
That's it. Proactive. Rather than be proactive.
Yeah, rather than at 3 in the morning going, help.
Well, we talk about proactive, you know, IT, and that's a big part of it. I mean, it's just getting it's getting your hands around it. And realizing it's not a utility. It's not just like if you flip the switch and the lights come on. There's a lot of stuff going on. It needs to be.
And is this a super expensive service, or is this something that's like a monthly kind of, you just pay a retainer every month and you kind of watch our back?
Well, most of the time it completely depends on the system. Like we focus on managed services, which means that either if you have a virtual server set up or you have actual servers or all your network gear, we are paid generally a monthly rate to monitor, maintain, and support that equipment 24/7, 365.
Right.
So that really is dependent on how big your environment is. You know, and like I said, we have clients that have one server, and we have clients that have 200.
But
so,
would you help them set up a server and do things like that from scratch?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think now, you know, one of the words we hear about a ton is the cloud. And I hate it because it's portrayed so many different ways. So technically the internet's the cloud, right? Or you've seen software as a service type stuff. Like when you go online to access your bank records, I mean, that's technically a cloud service, right? You're accessing stuff over the web.
It's not in your, like it's not on your it's actual computer. It's somewhere else.
Physically on your machine. So now for smaller business, which is the way we always recommend, is we have two data centers here in town as like hosted servers, where basically we have two data centers. It's like you've seen on like the Matrix and the movies. It's these rows and rows of computers. And we'll actually build customer environments in our facility. And then you can serve that up over the internet. I mean, and it's totally secure. It's more secure than having it in your office. That's another thing people always ask about. But then that way a company can basically, they pay us to have access to all that functionality and that equipment as a service. They don't have to buy cap. They don't have to physically buy a server, $8,000 to $15,000, depending on. Mm-hmm. They don't have to maintain it. They don't have to worry about 3 years from now when it's time to get a new one.
So they're renting space in your server.
Well, we're actually giving them all the function and service of a server for a monthly fee, rather than them having to purchase capital equipment and find some personnel to try and maintain.
Are they sharing that server with other companies?
No, it's 100% dedicated to them.
To their.
That makes sense.
Sure.
I've often wondered about that. I mean, and having it someplace not on your property would make so much sense.
It's way more secure. And just to give you an example, I mean, not to get into private, but a 5 or 10 person company, I mean, you're talking about where you could have all the same functionality as a big company with a fully functional server for, you know, $600-$700 a month. I mean, it's way, way cheap. I mean, especially compared to.
And does that control include the, you know, you're monitoring it and you're doing all that stuff?
Yeah, that's actually that's the actual environment we'll construct. And also the fact that every day, all day, we have eyes on it to make sure that nothing's going wrong. It's operating properly, all that stuff.
Wow.
I like that. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners like that, too, because it is one of those things you just don't think about until it crashes. So preventative maintenance is so important.
We'll help you when it breaks, too. We're just going to charge you a lot more.
So, Sean, tell it. You hit right. Help. The big red flag. Tell us how folks can contact you. And then my last question for you is, what makes you different from just the other IT guy I can call?
Sure. Well, obviously, the website. Providen is the company. Again, we have one of our partners is British, so he always comes up with crazy ways to pronounce stuff. I said Providen the first time I ever saw it, but it's providyn.com. Our main office number, which I don't know off the top of my head, which is funny, right, is 404-551-5492. Obviously, we can be reached there. I think for us, the biggest thing, there's really two differentiators. Number one, we've sacrificed a little margin. Our least experienced engineer is about 15 years in the business. We don't have any junior level engineers, guys that are a couple years IT, send them out on site. You can bill them out at $20 an hour, you know, those kind of guys. We don't do that. Because mostly we're talking about corporate clients and we want to provide a really high level of service to them. The other thing is a couple of our partners were CIOs at publicly traded companies. And when you become a services client of ours, we also provide ongoing strategy. So a lot of smaller businesses, for example, don't have CIOs. So we'll actually sit down with them and go over your business goals. So new locations, new equipment, new people, and talk about how it affects your technology, which is another huge mistake because people will grow and open 6 locations and do all this stuff, and they don't think about the fact that, well, okay, everybody that works there needs to get onto the network and everybody that, you know, does that. But I think we're really service-driven, and we really try to look at not just right now, like, let me come in and fix your machine. It's more about getting your environment to a point where it can grow and scale with your business.
And you're not necessarily talking about the website. You're talking about the
Not the website at all.
Right. This is the information technology.
Yeah, this is your physical – this is your – all of your hardware, so your desktops and laptops that your people actually use, that moving all the way down through your server environment, like your infrastructure and your network gear, your backup systems, your email, your security, your antivirus, like everything from a threat perspective. Right. We also do a lot of threat and security work.
So. What if your company has a website that's their business is integrated with? Can you help in that area?
Yeah, I mean, obviously just a website server is just another server. Like if you want to host your own website, it's no different than paying GoDaddy $110 a year.
Right.
I mean, so we certainly do. We're just not a designer. We don't do that stuff.
But you play nicely with them.
Sure. All day long. Sure.
Wonderful. Always good to play nicely, right?
Exactly.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning. Great information. Gosh, a lot of information. And I'm one of those people, too. When it doesn't work, you just go, oh, no. I mean, I have no idea. I just know I can tell you it doesn't work. And I'm sure that it's, you know, a lot of it is downloading games.
The key is backing up, right?
That's right.
How important is that?
It's crazy important. I'll even give a quick plug to anybody right now that owns a computer not company related. There's a product called Carbonite, if you've ever heard of it. It's on, we actually use it for some corporate stuff, but you can go on the web, you can get an account. I think it's about $55 a year. And anytime you're online, it will physically back up everything that's on your machine that you have the account for. So pictures, emails, and it's real time. So it just, I mean, and like there's stuff like that's what I think with our business. It's even more so on the corporate side. People just have no idea what's out there. But like for your personal computer, why would you not
Yeah, for literally 60, 50, 60 bucks. That's
if your
crazy.
Computer blows up, you go buy a new computer from Best Buy, get on the website, go to Carbonite and log in and let them know, and it will fully restore everything that was on the other machine to the new machine.
And, wow. And that really works, the restoring part?
It absolutely
works.
Because
that's a leap of faith. You know, you're paying the 60 bucks a year,
I mean, you're,
and you don't use it until you need it, and then you're hoping that it's going
to
really...
Well, you're obviously free to back it up, you know, other places.
Right.
But, I mean, we, like I said, we are a technology company and we use it. I mean, I don't know if that's more of an endorsement. I will tell you another thing for here, if anybody is listening that's interested in talking to us, we normally don't do this. We roll it in, but because you were nice enough to have us here, we'll actually come out and do, if you mention the show, we'll do a free assessment. It's about, ends up being about $1,000 worth of consulting, really, but we'll come out if you mention it and just do a diagnostic on your system, take a look at your security, your threat vulnerability level and that kind of stuff. And of course, at that point, we like a chance to earn the business, you know, sure. And try to work on it, but we'll give you that info. You can shop it around, you can do whatever, but normally we charge that back against a client for the first, you know, bits of service. Mm-hmm. But, because, Atlanta Business Radio was nice enough to have us, if anybody will mention the show, we'll come out and do that assessment for free.
Woo-hoo.
Wow.
Happy holidays.
That's nice. Really?
Yeah,
Merry Christmas.
That is
so
very
you'll
nice.
Be going to Amy's house. So,
that's fine. You can certainly do that, too.
Yeah, you'll be checking out the mainframe.
At wow. Otto Enterprises.
Oh, right? Gosh, yeah. IT stuff drives me crazy, and definitely having someone that knows what they're doing is key. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
guys.
With us
I
today. And now I know why he's more than the average IT guy.
Right.
A lot to that.
Yeah.
A lot to that.
Exactly.
All right, next up, and I've been sitting here, y'all, and if you're wondering why I'm checking you out, I'm trying to decide which of the two are our last two guests, and I'm going to make a guess that the Tank Goodness guy is to my right. No. Okay.
Nice.
Okay. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, the Cookie Guy.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Lee. Good morning, Amy. Thank you for having us.
Okay, so my wheels are turning, and I'm sitting here reading the bio, and you were in the hair business? But you have no hair.
I have no hair, and that's why I don't look like the cookie guy or the hairstylist.
No, and I'm looking at the guy on my right going, he has fabulous hair. He must be the hair guy. Okay, wonderful. Tell us about your business. You've definitely shifted gears and reinvented yourself, and as an entrepreneur, we love success stories on the show. So tell us about Tank Goodness.
Absolutely. Well, as you mentioned, I was a hairstylist for about 14 years. I spent 9 of those years in Bermuda. Managing a hair salon, and about 6 years ago decided to come back to Atlanta. This is where my family lives, and we wanted to open up a family-run business. We got into the restaurant business right about the same time that the economic downturn happened, and we had a restaurant. We opened it. It ran for about 2.5 years, and the economy just forced us to close the doors. Right after closing the doors, we decided, you know, my girlfriend and I, we took some things out of the restaurant upon leaving. And one of those items was a KitchenAid mixer. I cook a lot. I've never baked cookies, never baked a cake. But I sat at home for a couple of weeks and one day decided to try my hand at baking some cookies. So Googled some recipes, came up with a couple of recipes, made the cookies, sent them with my girlfriend to her workplace, and they were a hit. Did it again. They were a hit again. They loved the cookies. And so I started kind of investigating, possibly getting into the cookie business, starting my own cookie company. And during this search, I ran upon an article about a company in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Tank Goodness, that was started by a husband and wife, Dennis and Ann Tank. They started about 6 years ago, and their niche was they bake cookies to order, and they deliver the cookies while they're still warm all over the Minneapolis area with cold milk. I thought this was a genius idea. Atlanta could definitely use this business, so I made contact with the Tanks. And one thing led to another. A couple months later, after going up to Minneapolis and meeting them, talking with them, we decided to bring Tank Goodness here to Atlanta.
I love that idea. Gosh, nothing better than warm cookies and milk.
And how did you not bring us cookies? How did that happen?
You know, Lee, I knew you were going to ask that.
They're coming, right?
Our business is run out of a shared commercial space, and I generally get in there about 9 o'clock each morning to start baking cookies for a day. I would have had to get in there probably about 5 o'clock this morning to start baking cookies, and I didn't want to risk missing this interview, Lee.
I can understand that. I wouldn't miss it either.
Too. No doubt. So,
but you know, Amy loves cookies, FYI.
Cookies will be coming to Lee and Amy.
Snickerdoodles, gingerbread cookies, what other kind of cookies do you have?
Well, our signature cookie is an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie made with Ghirardelli chocolate chips. that's the one cookie that the tanks have made. That's their only cookie, and we brought that here to Atlanta. We've also started doing an ancho chili chocolate chip for DBA barbecue, as well as a peanut butter, get ready for this, a peanut butter, banana, and bacon cookie.
Oh, my gosh.
So like Elvis? Is that
it
Elvis?
It is the Elvis, okay. And we've paired it with DBA barbecue in Virginia Highlands. We're doing kind of grown-up milk and cookies where they're doing moonshine eggnog and a habanero-infused eggnog to complement the cookies.
Mm, that sounds awesome.
Now, like cookies are always a go-to item, but now I'm seeing all these little cupcake shops popping up. Do you guys do any cupcakes?
We do cookies, Lee.
That's it?
Yeah, there's so many cupcake shops, cupcakeries.
Why do you think everybody likes cupcakes? Well, what's the attraction to that? That's a fad, right?
It's definitely a fad.
It's kind of a trendy thing.
Yeah, so they're going to go away.
Well, you know, whether they go away or not, cookies will be here to stay. I mean, cookies resonate with everyone.
You're right.
You know, it takes you back to your childhood when you were a kid. You know, your mom or your grandmother, someone in your family was baking cookies. And, you know, after school, or if you did something good, you got a reward.
What cookies do they eat in Bermuda? What's the go-to cookie there?
Oatmeal chocolate chip, I thank goodness.
Yeah? Oh, I bet. Bermuda is interesting. I've tooled around Bermuda on a moped, and they drive like crazy. Those cab drivers are nuts there. They need some warm cookies to settle them down.
Considering you can only drive 25 miles an hour, it is very hectic.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And I scoot around on a moped for about 9 years. Fortunately, I don't know how it happened, but I had no accidents. But even with the slow speeds, there are a lot of accidents down there. They do need some warm cookies.
Is there any, do you do any like holiday cookie packages for companies?
Interesting you asked that. We actually are in the middle of completing an order for a LASIK eye clinic. They ordered 80 dozen cookies and milk for their referring optometrists around the, I can't even say Atlanta. I've been down to Griffin, Georgia. I've been to Cummings, Georgia. I've been to Buford, all over. So, yes, we are doing some corporate. And the bulk of our business is based in corporate clientele, you know, for business-to-business marketing or client appreciations. When the business was started in Minneapolis, Dennis and Ann targeted individuals that wanted to send cookies to their loved ones or for their children at school. And they slowly evolved into more of a corporate gift. And that's the business model that we're following here as well.
Can you customize them in different shapes, or how do you customize it for the companies?
At this point, we're not customizing, say, in different shapes or with company logos. That will be coming down the pipeline in the near future. But companies are just enjoying sending and getting the reaction of their business partners when they receive warm cookies and milk.
Yeah, and the simplicity of it, too.
It's a very unique gift. It is very simple.
I like that. Is it too late for the holidays?
It's absolutely not too late for the holidays. Anyone that's interested in ordering, replacing an order, they can get information from tankgoodness.com. It's www.tankgoodness.com. Or they can call us at 404-432-8025.
Excellent.
So you said Tank Goodness is a franchise?
It's a license.
A license?
We're a licensee. It's very similar to a franchise. They just don't require that we put the same cookie, regardless of where you are. You can do whatever it is you want to.
So you can customize it.
You can customize it based on your region, your area.
And do you have exclusivity for Atlanta?
I do.
And I guess they're available all over the country?
Tank Goodness was started in Minneapolis. They now have a licensee in Des Moines, Iowa, another one in Chicago, Illinois. They have two more that are opening in other parts of Minnesota, and we're here in the Southeast.
So you're excited about this?
I'm very excited about it. It's a very simple business model, but it's one that really brings enjoyment and delight to people that receive it. And that's what we're all about, just sharing the love one cookie at a time.
Right.
Wonderful. I love that story.
I'm
kind of behind the eight ball on holiday giving with cookies, but maybe I'll do something in New Year's. People aren't expecting
it
then.
Surprise them.
Yeah.
We're here all year round.
Year round.
I like that. Nothing like warm cookies. Thanks so much for being our guest this morning.
Thank you, Amy, for having me. Thank you, Lee. And I promise, Tank Goodness, we'll be delivering to you soon.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. I love that combination. Oatmeal, chocolate chip. That's like my two favorites combined.
And cold milk. That's the only time I really drink milk is with cookies.
Right.
Although that...
I think that's universal.
That loaded eggnog sounded pretty good with the barbecue, too.
Yeah, you definitely have to try that DBA barbecue in the Highlands.
Mm-hmm. Yum. Last but certainly not least this morning, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Money Check. Alok, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for hanging out with us this morning. And I think you came as a nomination from someone.
You contacted me somewhere,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
It was through Pat Rombaletti, I think.
Pat Rombaletti has a show here.
So tell us about Money Check.
Well, Money Check is a personal finance education company. So basically, we go into companies and teach employees how to make better financial decisions. As we all know, everyone's dealing with financial stress right
now. He's going to Washington after this, right, to help them with their financial situation.
Good luck.
I wish I could, actually. I do have some opinions. I do have some strong opinions. But we try to go into organizations and help their employees reduce financial stress. How do they actually manage their money? How do they think through and build their own financial plan? And we do it in a way where we don't sell any products. So it's pure education. It's pure training.
What are the mistakes you typically see the employees making?
Well, the number one mistake employees make is that they're not contributing to their retirement plan.
I can't believe that.
Especially when the retirement
like
plan
like not
is,
at all? Like
not at all.
Even if the company matches?
Even if the company matches. We see companies with less than 50% of people contributing, and the company is doing a 3 to 5% match.
Wow.
So that's just free money that they're just saying no thank you to.
I don't know if they're consciously saying no thank you. I'm not sure they understand they don't understand necessarily the big picture.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of skepticism around, I'm putting my money in this black hole.
Oh, it's a trust thing. They're not trusting that they'll really get the money back at the end of the day.
I think there's a lot of distrust today in financial services.
And probably just a lack of education, like you mentioned. And to get that type of education from your workplace is rare, too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really? I've never worked for a big company. I don't know how it works. So if you work for a company and you get hired, they don't go over all the – isn't this one of the benefits they give you?
They don't. What companies do is they'll give you some general overview on the benefits package. And so they'll tell you about your health care and they'll tell you about a few other things. And then once a year or once a quarter sometimes, they'll have a retirement plan expert come in. The challenge is they don't deal necessarily with if you're dealing with debt or if your home is upside down or you don't have an emergency fund or insurance. All the other topics that are on their mind, companies don't necessarily address those.
And I would imagine it would help with retention, too. I mean, if their employees are financially stable, they're making good decisions, and then they're just more stable in their life, they don't have to switch jobs so frequently. What kind of experiences are you having in working with HR directors on this?
Well, the experience has been fantastic. I think there's a lot of ideas kind of being generated in today's economy as to how do you re-engage employees, because all they're hearing from their HR departments today is more layoffs, we're reducing benefits, we're cutting pay, we're cutting bonuses. Well, what can you give back to re-engage these employees? And that's one of our ideas is teach them how to manage their money, teach them how to deal with it on the home front, and you'll be rewarded in the business place.
So what's your kind of first step if you're teaching somebody who is kind of financially illiterate?
We actually we've developed a system called the Financial 4S system. So the first step we talk about is stabilizing their finances. So understanding the expenses that they have to pay, keeping the lights on, having an emergency fund, having insurance, some of those key steps we'll focus on first. Then we'll start talking about paying off debt, saving for retirement, and going from there. So it's a very systematic approach to education.
So what happens when you tell them, like, this is somebody who's never done anything, and now you're kind of explaining this structure? Are they, like, blown away, or are they shocked, like, that when they get kind of a view of what their situation is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think what you get two kind of emotions that come from the employees. One is there's a little bit of shock and awe about how many things that they do need to think about. But then there's a bit of relief that there's someone there to talk to them about it and teach them about it.
Right.
And they're not going to try to sell them something.
But is it something that it's like one of those things where you like why people don't go to the doctor because they're afraid of what they're going to find if they go to the doctor? So they just keep putting it off. Is that the same kind of mentality here?
Absolutely. There are definitely people like that. What we find is when you go into an employer, about 30% of the people will actually participate in the program. So there are definitely people who are not ready for it or who may not need it. But about 30% are really looking for something like this.
And then do those 30% stay compliant once you get them into the program?
We've seen actually a large portion of them stay compliant. We have a number of tools that they use and kind of track their progress throughout. But we're definitely seeing debt levels go down. The one immediate benefit that they see is almost every one of the people contribute to their retirement plan.
That's a good thing. Now, the workplace financial educational programs that you put on through an HR company, are they seminars? Are they workshops? How is the communication?
Yeah, they're six-week workshops, and in those workshops, the employees actually build their own financial plan.
Okay.
So we come in for an hour a week. We usually generally do it during lunch, or we'll do it in the late afternoon hour. And so it's almost like a series of lunch and learns mm-hmm. for their employees, but they're packaged together.
Is there any kind of an online opportunity for them to do things on their own, self-directed?
Not yet, but we are building an online tool, and we're actually bringing some of our curriculum online. And so we're hoping to see that happen over the next few years.
It's a great idea. And how can folks reach out to you? You're really looking to communicate with human resource departments and folks that are looking to offer these programs to their employees, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And how can they contact you?
A couple ways. They can come to our website at moneycheckonline.com. Most people forget the online, so it's moneycheckonline.com. Or they can call us directly at 678-954-5864.
What recommendations do you have for companies that are trying to deal with the stress that their employees are undergoing right now due to financial times?
Yeah, I think the main thing is to be innovative, because the challenge right now is that all of the former ways that employees were incented, which is pay, generally through pay or better benefits, those are going away because costs are increasing. And so they're going to have to get creative about what do they do for their employees. And financial wellness as well as health wellness are two of the big ways that they can address that.
Now, your business, though, is the client is the company?
The client
is hiring you. The employees just get the benefit of your expertise.
Yeah, the employees kind of go through the program. Now, clients have structured it in different ways. Some clients have paid for our services, and we come in and we charge on a per-employee basis. Others have subsidized it. And I actually, while it may not necessarily be good business for me, I actually think they should only subsidize it, because when employees have some skin in the game, then they start to take it seriously.
It's and you really see the they're change. More compliant, right?
Absolutely.
Now, is there any strategies to get, the 70% of the people who aren't paying attention to this, to get them more involved?
Well, we've done a few seminars at one company where we're starting to see those 70% through word of mouth mm-hmm. ask about when the next one's happening.
Right.
Because there's this skepticism around what is this? And then when they hear that, wait a second, this is actually true education, it's fun, it's interactive,
right.
We use a lot of multimedia, then they want to participate as well.
Right. And the people that are passing up the company's matching funds, that just doesn't make any sense.
It's unbelievable. It's free money.
Right.
Yeah,
how? That's crazy.
Oh, you'd be amazed, Lee. You would be amazed.
You would be.
Do the company just not tell them that that's there, or do they just like bury it in like some, a folder? Like
no. I think sometimes, like he was explaining, they haven't been educated on it, and they haven't been told, and their hand hasn't been held to understand the importance of it.
Right.
It seems very basic to you and I, but it's not to everyone. So, yeah, I think the educational tool that you're providing is outstanding. And to put it into the workplace and make it convenient for employees, great idea. Wonderful idea.
It seems like a total win-win all the way around.
Absolutely. Tell us one more time how folks can reach you.
Yep. They can give us a call directly at 678-954-5864, or they can visit us on the web at moneycheckonline.com.
Terrific.
Thank you both for having me.
Thank you for being with us today. And, gosh, great information, Lee.
Man, that was like three shows in one.
That's right. Wonderful. Well, thanks to all of our listeners for listening to the show today. And until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.